Inside. It's Sunday night, and you are listening to The Ooze with your hosts, T.C. Downey and Jason Sorrell. T.C., what's going on, man?
What's up, man? I can tell you're getting used to when the actual talking cue is with the new intro, so that's pretty good, man.
Right on. So, what's going on, man?
Oh, shit, man. I spent most of the day watching various documentaries or whatever, but there was one, and fuck if I can't now remember the name of the damn thing as I'm sitting here talking about it. There was one had Woody Harrelson in it, actually. You know things are pretty fucked up when a stoner movie star like Woody Harrelson's fucking up on goddamn documentary talking about how fucked things are. So.
Right on. Yeah, you totally see your point. Yeah, when you got somebody that should just be, you know, smoking pot out of apples or whatever, not really giving a fuck, for them to step up and go, we need to wake up and be concerned. Well, it might be time to wake up and be concerned. So, right. What else has been going on, man?
Shit, man. I actually spent the past 20 minutes trying to get a fucking 4 minute and 44 second clip that my friend, my buddy Andy, my brother from childhood, pretty much up. It posted up on Facebook today, and, you know, of course, now I'm running the new operating system, so I had to go through and install all the damn tools I needed to rip the video and then splice the audio out from it and get it uploaded to here. And it almost didn't fucking happen until I woke up and went, oh, wait a minute. I can't upload a file that's named *.mp3. They're just not going to take that. I got to rename the fucking thing. So, I did rename it. This is, and I don't know if you've seen or heard this before, but there's this dude, Dylan Radigan. At least I think that's how it's pronounced. He goes on a fucking major rant. I mean, just a major rant, where I don't agree with everything that he says, actually about 75% of it. It's still all the same, that there's just something there that I think that everybody needs to kind of wake the fuck up and realize. So if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of roll into a 4 minute clip.
Right on. That'd be cool.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and click play on this fucker, and I'll talk to you in about 5 minutes.
Right on.
We owe $70 trillion to walk out
a
$4 trillion solution, which is basically just a way for the Democrats to avoid dealing with this until 2017. I'm not here to talk about plans to deal with this till 2017. I'm saying we've got a real problem, and I'm tired of Republicans and Democrats who either want Republicans who want to burn the place to the ground, and Democrats, with all due respect, who want to offer a plan that gets it through their end of their second term of their presidency and then screws me and my kids when it's over. And until we do that, we have to deal with the extraction that is at foot. It is the reason the financial markets are behaving the way they're behaving. That is a mathematical fact. This is not some opinion. This is a mathematical fact. Tens of trillions of dollars are being extracted from the United States of America. Democrats aren't doing it. Republicans are not doing it. An entire integrated system, financial system, trading system, taxing system that was created by both parties over a period of 2 decades is at work on our entire country right now. And we're sitting here arguing about whether we should do the $4 trillion plan that kicks the can down the road for the president for 2017 or burn the place to the ground, both of which are reckless, irresponsible, and stupid. And the fact of the matter is, until we actually, and I'm sorry to lose my temper, but I tell you what, I've been coming on TV for 3 years doing this. And the fact of the matter is that there's a refusal on both the Democratic and the Republican side of the aisle to acknowledge the mathematical problem, which is that the United States of America is being extracted. It's being extracted through banking, it's being extracted through trade, and it's being extracted through taxation. And there's not a single politician that has stepped forward forward, Susan, to deal with this.
But there's only one right now. It's the leader of the free world, whether you like it or not, the president of the United States is arguably one of the most powerful individuals we have out there.
But Susan, what you're saying is exactly the point that Dylan is making. It's not about one guy. It's about all of them
coming together. No, I actually disagree. I think Dylan's saying it
isn't
about one guy.
It is about one guy.
What would you like him to do?
I would like him to go to the people of the United States of America and say, people of the United States of America, your Congress is bought. Your Congress is incapable of making legislation on health care, banking, trade, or taxes, because if they do it, they will lose their political funding and they won't do it. But I'm the President of the United States, and I won't have a country that is run by a bought Congress. So I'm not going to work with a bought Congress and try to be Mr. Big Guy. I'm working with the bought Congress. I'm going to abandon the bought Congress like Teddy Roosevelt did, and I'm going to go to the people of the United States and I'm going to say, you've got a bought Congress. And until we get rid of the bought Congress, which is Jimmy Williams' constant point, which is get the money out of politics, and until a president says that's the problem and says he's going to fix it, there is no policy that I can possibly see, no matter how brilliant your idea may be, or your idea, or my idea, or her idea, or your idea at home, is. That idea will not happen as long as there is the capacity to basically fire a politician who disagrees with me by taking funding away from him. Is that a fair assessment?
Money in politics is the root of all political evil. It is corruption at its worst. And until we step up and kick that out of the park, it's going to be the same system all
and
the
only
way.
The president could do that. We're going to
No. The Congress has to do it, too. The Congress has to do it, too.
But I'll tell you what. How bad does it have to get? How much money has to be extracted? How many things have to be hurt?
The brass tacks. Okay, physically, what do you do?
You go and give a speech.
Right now.
Right now.
And then what happens tomorrow?
Tomorrow what happens is you begin the process of actually investing in solving the problem. So
how?
I come out and I say, how? I create an infrastructure bank with 2% blending immediately. There's that. Once I explain to people the problem, once I explain to you you have cancer, once you understand how screwed up your trade tax and banking policies are, believe me, you will have no issue when I incorporate an infrastructure bank that I fund with repatriated offshore money that I bring in and then use to create 2% direct lending to every business in America, because when you realize that the banking system is fully corrupt and defrauding us, and I come out and say that, which is what I want my president to do, that at that exact moment I say, you know what, we got a screwed up situation here, people. You all know it, and now what? I'm going to admit it. And as a result, not only have I admitted it, but we're going to begin the process of solving it like grown-ups. They did it in World War II. They did it after the Civil War. They did it in Latin America with the Brady Bonds. We are not seeing it happen now. The panel stays a little more emotional than I anticipated getting at work this afternoon, but what am I going to do?
There we go. So what do you think of that?
Well, it sounds like a lot of what the Occupy people are already talking about. So the Occupy movement's already on this. It's nice to hear a politician kind of waking to it. But he's a politician. So my concern is, as sincere as he sounds, my concern is that as a politician, he's just looking at the future generation of voters. Now, that said, a couple of things that I disagree with him on immediately. He pointed out that Congress is corrupt, that we have a bought Congress. So what we need to do is do what Teddy Roosevelt told us to do back when he had a bought Congress in his administration, is we need to vote them out. But then we just vote in a new Congress. And guess what happens? That Congress will get bought. So if the current Congress, if having a Congress isn't working out for us, perhaps that's not the way to go. Same with banking. He sits there and says that the banking system is corrupt. So what does he want to do? He wants to create a new bank that offers 10% loaning. Lending. Well, wait a second. If the banking system is corrupt, what good is a new bank going to do us? I mean, sure, for the short term, immediately you have this other option. But how long will the bank be corrupted by the system? So, you know, he said that the options are either for the Democrats, it's kick this down the road until 2017 to give their guy enough time to be reelected, or with the Republicans, they're like, burn the whole place down. You know, as irresponsible and reckless as burn the whole place down is, and as much as I hate to necessarily disagree with the Republicans if that's their particular viewpoint, what else can we do? He called it cancer. You know, he used that analogy. Well, if you have cancer, you don't negotiate with cancer. You don't try to work your way around cancer. You extract it. You eradicate it. You treat it with, you know, chemotherapy. You burn it out of your body. And hopefully you can do it before the damage is too great that you can survive that, you know, that extraction. So I dig his fire and passion. I just don't agree with the solutions.
Right on, right on. He well, first he's not a politician. He's a reporter. He actually has his own TV show, and that's a clip from his TV show. So that's media. MSNBC, I think, is who he works for, actually picking up the ball here. So today what I discovered was that there's actually getting to be more clout, at least in terms of the people that are putting forward this idea. Now, I've known this in sort of a off fashion, I guess, for at least the past couple of months. But, I mean, you're starting to see a lot more passionate appeals to the people to actually pick up off the fucking couch and do something about it. Well, I'm right there with you in agreeing that burning it down is the only thing we can really do. Cutting out the cancer is the only thing that we can really do. I think what's really important here is that he's offering a window of how this whole thing should go down. And what I mean by this is that the President of the United States should be stepping up for the people and saying, you know, fire these fuckers and then fire me. And that's what should be going on right now. I've been batting my head back and forth all week trying to figure out why it is that I'm doing what I'm doing. As I'm sitting here thinking to myself, what are we going to be talking about this Sunday night on the news? What am I going to talk about on Wednesday night? What am I going to talk about on Saturday morning? Saturday morning's usually a no-brainer. I just go back to the old philosophical rehash or whatever. You know, I keep wanting to try to somehow make this different content, but the fact of the matter is, until more people are out there actually putting their fucking hands on things and changing their world, the only thing we really can do is continue to work in our own lives and continue to push forward the message that they need to get off their fat, fucking comfortable, pseudo middle class American fucking ass and do something about it, because they're not even middle class anymore. They're fucking poor motherfuckers now. My stepfather, this past week, I think it was, or maybe the week prior, went into this long diatribe when we were talking, and what he was telling me was that he had seen some new statistics that back in the 80s when he was a kid, and he had pulled up this number, the average wage in America at that time was around $120,000. Average, not average wage, the median wage, I'm sorry, median wage. I mean, not meaning the average, but meaning the dead middle between top and bottom, $120,000 was that number. That number is now 30 grand. 30 grand is fucking poverty.
Mm-hmm.
When you figure
right.
The average rent, go ahead, man.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That and it's been this averaging of, you know, of wage, of salary, or what have you, throughout the world. That the United States has given up on many of the programs, many of the things that made this country what it was, that afforded a median wage of $120,000 a year. And part of that was being self-sufficient. And this is a message we keep hammering, you know, you and I, it's a cornerstone of what we talk about with our philosophy, with the way we view things, that without being self-sufficient, you can't get shit else done. So we've got a nation that's no longer self-sufficient. It's so embedded and so tied to all these other nations that when one falls, they all fall. It's recognizing that, you know, these systems that we're engaged in, these things that we're doing, they aren't helping us. It's waking up, just like you're saying, it's waking up and doing something, and it's doing something for yourself. And once you figure out that you can do something for yourself, then you're setting an example for other people. And then you can start talking about, you know, what can be done? What else can we do? What can we collaborate on? What can we, you know, what can we jump on and really make some shit happen so that more and more people wake up until we're able to finally free yourself from all this shit and be self-sufficient once again as a people, as a society.
Yeah, you know, and what really worries me here is that there are so many fucking mentally asleep people. There are so many brainwashed fucking zombies wandering around that they don't see the smoke from the woods. You know, they got no idea that their house sitting right on that wood line is going to burn down in just a few years. And so it's not until that fire is right there, right in their backyard, that they're going to fucking try to do something about it. And most of them are so fucking programmed that they're going to call for help. They're not going to fucking pull out a garden hose and start to try to wet the ground around their house or do all of the things that you would think would be common sense if your house is in danger of catching on fire. They're going to call the fucking fire department, who at that point in time is going to be busy trying to secure every house that's on that forest line.
Right, right. Well, and if we're talking about economics, when you find you're talking about classes, there is no middle class as far as I'm concerned anymore. There, you know, if there ever was, that you have two classes of people in this country. You always have. You have two classes of people in Western society, and you always have. You have the you have the aristocrats, the nobles, and you have the serfs. The aristocrats and nobles don't worry so much about where they're going to get their next meal. The serfs, it is a constant thought on their mind. How am I going to pay the bills? Where am I going to get my next meal? How am I going to take care of things? So if that's a thought in your head, if you're thinking about how, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you're making, if your concern is that this could end, and if this ends at some point, I'm in deep shit because I don't have the ability to, you know, earn a wage or whatever it is you think you're supposed to be doing, well, you're a serf. You're of that peon class. So this idea of middle class, I think, is just another way of patronizing or pacifying us.
Mocking us in a way, man. I mean, to be honest with you, that's why I use the term pseudo middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree with you. There is no middle class. I mean, I took several trips over to China around 2003, 2004, all the way up into 2006, I believe. And one of the things I noticed there was that there is a hard line. That there is a hard line between the extremely wealthy and the dirt fucking poor. And there are no layers between. None. No layers between. So, you know, it kind of became a shocker when around 2005, China started inflating its dollar. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Well, their financial analysts over there were sitting there watching this fucking housing bubble swelling up, knowing that this was the fucking first domino that was going to knock over this entire fucking chain. And one of the things that I also came into this past week, and fuck if I can't remember who it was that was talking about it, but what we've seen actually happening just on the housing market level, it is still to get worse. There was an initial break of the bubble, which means that the first people whose low interest rates, because there were two types of loans at that time that were out. One was add options, and the other one was open arms, right? Well, the initial raise of interest hadn't even hit, and these people are starting to default on their loans. Well, now that whatever you want to call it, introductory rate is over. So what we're about to start seeing happening is this housing market is going to continue to just completely collapse, at least as far as I can tell. So I'm looking for shit to get real bad over the next 6 months. I mean, at this point, you might be better off living in Egypt or Ethiopia. At least there's something to give you more of a true indicator of what the economy really looks like, because what we have going on is this beautiful facade created by plastic and debt All of this stuff that's all around us makes us feel like we're somehow separate from the rest of the world. But the fact of the matter is, as you heard in the recording that was just playing today, we're $70 trillion in debt at this point. That means that China and whoever the other major lenders are, and we all know that it's not really the country China that's the major lender. It's the fucking Fed. It's not just the Fed. It is the bank of the world. They could come in at any time and take our entire fucking country.
I want to speak to that point in just a minute. So don't let me forget to talk about, you know, the other countries, the Fed or whatever, coming in and taking over. But you mentioned, of course, it's a facade, and it's always been a facade. It's always, again, it's the nobility, it's the aristocratic power brokers, basically, giving to the little people the semblance of nobility. And that's always the way it's been. When the serfs complained about inequality, when the serfs complained about, you know, harsh working hours and job conditions and what have you, when the serfs complained, the nobility felt, you know what, the best way to motivate these people to continue to work for us instead of working for themselves is to give them some semblance of being like we are. So now you have the ability to, you know, own a boat. Now you have the ability to have a lake house. When you talk about owning a home, this housing bubble and everything else, it used to be in this country that if you owned a home, it was because you went out and found a piece of land, you cleared it, you modified it, you started growing shit on it, and you built your home with your own two hands, or you and your neighbors got together and built your home. You know, and you paid them for their labor, you paid for the materials, and you owned everything free and clear. You owned the property, you owned the structure, you owned the whole thing. There are very few homeowners in this country right now that can say that that's the case. And even if they do say that's the case, you know, the government can at any time declare eminent domain and take away what you think is yours. If you actually owned the property and owned your home, you would be a sovereign nation unto yourself. That little, you know, acreage that you have would be, you know, Downey land. And here in Texas, I'd have Sorrel land, and this would be our place where the law was determined by, you know, us once you cross that property line. That's not the case. It's never been the case. Now, to the issue of the Fed or China or basically everybody we owe money to calling us on our debt. The question I wonder is, what would they get? Okay, because the money is based not on anything real. I think the loan was given to us not because they can come take our car. Okay, not because they can come take whatever. They can't come take our houses or whatever. What is it they can come take? It's always confused me.
Well, they can come take all of that, but I mean, to be honest with you, the whole point here for me when I'm kind of going off on that whole thing is the fact that we've served or what's the fucking word I want to use, indentured to the system that we were born into that really honestly doesn't offer us anything like you were just saying. You know, that land is not yours. They can at any time come in and claim eminent domain and clear you out. I mean, ultimately what they're working to do is, you know, beat you down to the point where you're willing to take a fucking job that's minimum wage, and then they're going to beat minimum wage down and beat you down some more. So they're getting the ultimate level of productivity while at the same point, you know, just kind of manufacturing this elitist wealth that, I mean, it only exists in our heads. It's the most fucked up mind trip I've ever seen.
And the fucked up thing is that it's generational. They will beat you down if you stick out, if you stand up. They will come after you. But they have beaten us down as a society. You know, we are descended from, you know, not just, you know, the revolutionaries that won their rights as a sovereign nation from the most powerful country on earth. We're not just descended from those people. We're descended from, you know, Celts and Vikings and fucking, you know, the Danes and the Bismarcks and the Goths. We're descended from the Roman fucking Empire. We're descended, you know, so there's there's a conquistador of very individualistic streak in our bloodline, and we're not the only culture to have that in us. I think it's common amongst all human cultures to have that kind of individualist streak. But it has been beaten out of us. It has been, you are born into a system that insists on conformity. You are born into a system that begins delineating you as soon as you're out of your mother's womb, sometimes even sooner, so that you don't even recognize there are other options until, you know, you get old enough to start thinking about this shit. And if you're lucky, you had enough of your own education, you had enough of your own experiences to make you just stop and go, wait a second, this doesn't sound right. I think the trick for us here is that we need to try to get more people who haven't reached that point to start, you know, taking a look around, you know, figuring out that something isn't right.
You know, what blows me away and really just blows my fucking mind, man. We've been going at this for a couple of months now here on the Sunday Night Show. I mean, I'm guessing that's about right, right? A couple of months, maybe even three?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Go ahead, dude.
Yeah. The number of people that actually are turning out now is a fraction of what it started. And that really scares me, because that means that they are so desensitized to the actual seriousness of this situation that they're actually getting tired of listening to this. That, I mean, we've been calling for 3 months now for people to call in and help us strategize. What have we got? Maybe a dozen phone calls. I don't even think that. Half a dozen people calling in and discussing their strategy.
Right. Yeah. It's been very few.
I mean, it's an alarming fucking thing for me. And it makes me really, really, really support the idea of burning everything down. You know, there's this whole fallacy that goes on that man as an individual should be a moral creature. But man on a societal level is immoral. I mean, look at what's going on with fucking corporations and shit right now. I mean, it just blew me away when I found out that corporations are actually deemed a person. That a corporation is a living entity according to definition by government. The only thing that they have to actually fucking do is make money for their shareholders. That's it. That's their only obligation.
Right. And
cool. Go ahead, man.
Go ahead, dude. No, I was just
going
to the point of the drop in call volume, and it's because this show format. I mean, when we were doing the show originally, we were trying to entertain people. You know, we wanted to get on here and for an hour every Sunday night, just kind of let our hair down, just kind of bullshit. And people dig that. I mean, that's what they're looking for. That's what they've been trained to look for. They've been trained to look for a distraction. They've been trained to look for something that is not going to force them to think about what's going on. They want to look for something that's going to let them forget about all the fucking problems and all the issues and all their responsibilities in the world. Okay, the responsibilities they have to themselves, the responsibilities they have to take notice and take action of what's going on around them. So as our numbers have kind of dwindled, with these different shows, and the fucked up thing I think is that while the numbers have dwindled as far as the live interest, the call-ins and everything else, we've actually been on the increase as far as overall listenership. But that we're actually shaking out the people that aren't willing to step up and do something. We're kind of shaking those away, so we start talking about this core group of people, these people willing to come back and listen to this message over and over and over again, hopefully get revitalized in their dedication to going, yeah, I need to, this is fucked up and I need to do something. And, you know, we're looking for people again to call in, but I think part of what's going on, I've heard this over and over again, especially here on the news, but in other places as well, everybody's waiting for somebody to take the first step. Everybody's waiting for somebody to step up and say, this is what we're going to do. This is the plan. Now, of course, as soon as somebody takes that first step, you're going to have, I mean, people from within our own circle are going to go, nope, you can't do it that way. Nope, that's not going to work. No, you don't even go down that road. That's what's going to happen. But that's what they're waiting for, is somebody to actually sit there and say, this is the plan of action. This is the plan of attack. But the best amongst us are actually saying that that's not the way to go. It's not a matter of being told, again, from on high, how to proceed. It's a matter of actually stepping up and going, okay, things are fucked up. What do I do for myself? What can I do for myself? That's where it starts. You know, it's all a relative problem. It's all right down at where you live is where you need to start thinking about what you need to do. And then from there, once you get going, then you start talking about collaborating with other people. If I come down and I say, this is what's going to happen, this is what you need to do, you might be into it for a little while, but if it is not yours personally, if you don't own the plan personally, well, then you're not going to have anything invested in it.
Right, absolutely. And, I mean, that's what we've got a target to do here, man. We've got a target to get people to fucking own their own shit. And I mean that in the most literal sense.
You got a Entropic Momentum in the chat room right now, and he typed in, I've got a strategy, but I'd rather not go over the details on the air. You know, that's cool, okay? And I understand that you don't want to come out and say, this is what we should do. We should fuck shit up. This is what we should do. We should burn down banks here or whatever. You don't want to come out and say that shit on the air because, of course, you know, this is being recorded and, you know, who knows who's fucking listening, whatever, right? But even coming off and going, hypothetically, this might be a good idea. Or it'd be interesting to see down the road some organization, what would happen if these things occurred? You know, I think it'd be worthwhile to just kind of discuss it in that manner. Or there's got to be some aspect of what your strategy involves that isn't necessarily covert, that isn't necessarily criminal. There's got to be some things that can, you know, be talked about or be discussed. And if it's not, if this isn't the, if this is not the forum for that kind of thing, well then, where do you want to talk about it? Who do you want to talk with? Who are you reaching out to discuss these things with? You know, who are you going to and going, hey man, I got this plan, I want you to hear, and I'm tapping you specifically for this plan. I talk to different people pretty much every fucking day, every chance I get. And it's slow, it's tedious, but again, it's just another way to get people to wake up.
I mean, it's got to start with something, you know. Starting with talk is usually the best way because then people know what you're doing as you're doing it. And I don't mean necessarily by the specifics of it, but rather why you did what you're doing. There's got to be something that connects the idea together. Otherwise, it's just going to be a further systemization of us, and we're already over-systemized. I mean, fuck, there's just some absolutely ridiculous stuff out there right now. I mean, in the state of Florida, it's still illegal to have anal sex, but at the same point, you know, they want to go ahead and try to pass legislation on what substances you can intake in your body. They've got this whole bait and switch thing going, as a matter of fact, with the pharmacists right now. If you are a disabled person who has psychological issues, your primary care physician refers you to a pain specialist and refers you to a psychological whatever person, and they both write you a narcotic, Class A narcotic. And your pharmacist sees that you're getting two prescriptions from two different doctors. They are now, they're obligated to call the police and turn you in for doctor shopping here in the state of Florida. And you go to jail for this shit. It's up to you to prove that the two doctors knew what you were taking. And that, I mean, even though when you go into a doctor's office at the bottom of it, that they have, you know, on the patient intake form, what medications are you currently taking?
And this is just a matter of people choosing to be adults. You know, if I, if,
yeah.
fuck it. If I want to go to two different doctors and get the medication twice, that's my fucking choice, isn't it? That should be my responsibility. What fucking happens, happens. That's what I, you know, that's what I, that's, it's bullshit. It's just like you're saying, we have too many systems laid upon us. We have too many laws put on top of us. Of course, and the effort is to make sure that whatever parameters we can act in are further and are more and more narrow until we're finally only given one option, whatever it is we're told to do. And I think when we talk about different strategies on here, we've talked about some things like, you know, getting off of money, getting away from material goods. The thing we mentioned earlier in this hour, you know, that the idea is that the aristocrats, one of their methods of control is to make you feel like you have the semblance of nobility. And how do they do that? Well, they tell you that you can have certain things that serfs normally don't have. You have to go out and earn it. And it's shit that you don't need. It's shit that is unnecessary. So while you're running around trying to keep up with the Joneses, well, the Joneses are fucking middle-class serfs just like you are. You know, they're not doing much better than you are. But so instead of, you know, recognizing that while you're keeping up the Joneses, those assholes at the top of the hill still have all the fucking power, still have all the resources, and they're doling it out as they see fit.
Great. I want to make mention real quick before I get back into this whole thing to Lehi. Lehi, in your Skype history, you should be able to find the last time you called in to use what the call-in ID is for Skype and go that way since the button's failing. I want to propose something. I call this the $7 plan. All right, and the reason it's a $7 plan, because a gallon of gasoline is around $3-4, depending on where you're at, and a fucking Bic lighter is around fucking $2 nowadays. I say on January 1st, everybody spends $7 and fucking torch something. Wells Fargo, fucking Morgan and Chase, you know, it doesn't matter who's involved with it. And fuck, they can't arrest me for just making the suggestion, or maybe they can, but fuck. Maybe we need a martyr. I don't, you know, honestly, if I don't have to apologize to my kid when he's 30 that his life sucks like it is, I'll be willing to do some fucking prison time for it.
You know, we've referenced the Fight Club movies. We've referenced that book and Project Mayhem. We've talked about it a number of different ways. That conceptually, the fact of the matter is, it's a sound concept. It's, you know, the people rising up. You know, have fun with it. Do some crazy shit. You know, go with the $7 plan if that's the way you want to go. But, you know, it's recognizing that we are at war. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you actually want to be free, if you actually want to break away from this system and actually have some independence, well, those thoughts, those ideas, and those behaviors are criminal based on the needs of the system, that you are a criminal for wanting to be an individual. You are a criminal for wanting to be free and do your own thing because that's not allowed. So if you're going to be a criminal anyways, it almost makes sense that you won't engage in criminal behavior. We're all responsible. We're all adults. We're all responsible for our own actions. So, you know, be prepared for the consequences. Be smart if you're going to do something crazy, if you're going to do something that the man's not going to like. You know, try to be smart. Try to get away with the shit. But, you know, it's time. It's fucking time.
Right. I agree with that entirely. I think beyond that, what you need to do, if you're going to do something, and, you know, I recommend you do something, that you make sure that a large enough group of people know that you're off to do something so that if you disappear, they're pounding down the government door trying to find out where the hell they sent you to. You know, that's one of the other things with this Patriot Act or whatever the fuck it is out there right now. It's just one more way for them to fucking terrorize you. I mean, it you don't even have to necessarily have done anything that's bad enough to be considered a terrorist. If they feel your actions are against them, they can now label you that way. I mean, in my mind, what that says is that you're already a criminal. We are already convicts. We just, you know, it depends on which box you want to play in. If you want to play in, you know, minimum security, then, you know, you do what they tell you. If you want to play in medium security, then, you know, you do something a little wrong, like have a fucking joint in your pocket. If you want to play in maximum security, well, then from there there's a list of other things that you can do. So,
Morgan Hell in the chat room typed in that you can disappear. I think she's talking about how if you go ahead and do some of these things, if you do something that's going to cause a lot of heat to come down, that you can vanish. One of our thoughts, I think, has been because we're approaching this whole issue from two different directions. I know Lehi's on the channel. I'm gonna go ahead and talk about that here in just a minute. But we're approaching this thing from two different directions. Obviously, the Ooze is collaborating with other efforts in the same, you know, the same thing that's going on. So, like, you know, 3.0 and things like that are actually, you know, we're actually talking to them, and there's some back and forth going on. But you've got people that are out there, you know, doing these different things. They're taking actions that actually conflict with the system. And then the other half of the discussion is, well, how the fuck do we just get away from the system completely? How do we step out of that? So when you say, you know, let's just, you know, there are ways you can disappear, I would be curious about that. I'd want to know how you make that happen, because why wait? You know, I would rather, especially if you're going to pull some crazy shit, I'd rather have already disappeared as far as the grid's concerned, already gotten off the grid and everything else. That way, I'm pulling this position. It's the reason Anonymous does and works the way it does, is that when you act, you're acting not as an individual. It's not Jason Sorrell against the system. It's one more pissed off, discontented person taking action and calling attention to the issue. And that's the other thing I want to point out, is if you're going to go out and do something that could get you in some fucking trouble, make sure that you've got a message attached to what it is you're doing. They got this guy, Joe Stack. He flew a fucking airplane to the IRS building here in Austin, Texas, a year or two ago. And when this shit went down,
the guy with the 9-page letter.
Right, he was pissed off about the whole, you know, his taxes being fucked over in his taxes. The dude had some issues. The dude made some mistakes. Let's just be honest, all right, about the way he went and handled things. But he just snapped, basically, and his final act of defiance, his final fuck you to the system, was flying his fucking airplane into the IRS building. Now, I told Jamie, as soon as we heard the story, I'm like, you know what, this guy is going to be labeled a kook. This guy is, they're going to find every little reason to say this guy was out of his mind. But the fact of the matter is, the man was fed up with being controlled by a system that unfairly prosecuted him for just being, basically. He had no choices. So he finally took, you know, he took the one choice that was left to him. He took his own fucking life. He did it in a spectacular way, and he made sure that the message he was trying to get across was left for people to read, for people to pay attention to. I don't know if Joe Stack is the guy's a hero or not, okay? But I think that 20, 30 years from now, as people come down, and think about this, he's going to be remembered in the same way as, and I may get the name right or wrong, but I think it was Jim Brown or whatever that attacked a U.S. arsenal way back during the abolition or what have you, to help start that whole movement. I mean, when he did that shit, he was labeled crazy. And he was labeled a criminal and a terrorist. And now he's considered an American folk hero. So,
right on.
We got some callers.
We're
starting callers up on the...
Yeah. Yeah, I just had to mute Lehi because he was all staticky. So if you want to bring him back on, that's fine.
Okay. All right, Lehi, you're on the air, man. What's up, man?
I was going to say, like, I was having a hard time logging in or finding in, and I had a train of thought that was kind of going with something earlier talking about people not calling in to bring up their ideas for a plan, and I said that I wasn't going to give the details. But I was trying to think of things that I could say that, you know, just small steps anybody can fucking take. Like, and you were mentioning how people they're trained to look for entertainment. They're logging into the show or any show or whatever because they're trying to find some kind of escape from life, you know. And it's an artificial escape. They're just trying to entertain themselves. And there are a lot of different ways you can do that. You know, some people use drugs. Some people play video games all day or whatever, you know. And my idea is that it's just a small first step. Try to break away from that. At first it's kind of painful, but anything worth doing is going to be kind of painful. I mean, I used to play a lot of video games, and I find that life is much more meaningful when I actually have a cause that I decide I want to be a part of or whatever. Actually go out in my life and do something rather than pretend like I'm accomplishing something proxy reality TV or video games or whatever.
Right on. So, yeah, I agree with you entirely. It's going to be painful the first time that you decide to stop entertaining yourself, stop distracting yourself, and start paying attention to the ball game. It's going to hurt like hell because you're going to realize exactly how big of a fucking cock you've got ramming up your ass all day long every day. And that kind of thing gets to be, a nuisance at the very least. I think this next caller is female Satan, so you want to go ahead and bring her on too, Jason?
All right, let me go ahead and bring her on. And while I'm bringing on the caller, 615 error code, that's female Satan. Real quick, in regards to entertainment, I absolutely agree. Unfucking plug. Stop watching the goddamn television. Stop listening to the fucking news. You know, get your news from, if you're going to get your news in small bits. Make sure you're focusing on local issues or whatever, but stop listening to the fucking news. Get away from all that shit. But you can't seek entertainment. It used to be, as a species, when we went to entertain each other, first of all, we were entertaining one another. There was human interaction going on. It wasn't just you in front of a television with a DVD popped in. You actually talked to other people. There was a collaboration going on. So you felt closer to the people that you were working with, whether you were making music or you're writing a play or acting on stage or what have you. The other thing is that this entertainment usually had some sort of purpose to it. And it wasn't simply just a matter of telling a story or what have you, but it was a story with some sort of meaning. It taught some sort of lesson. It was, you know, there was something involved. You know, there was an example being set by this story. So even when Shakespeare's time, when his players took the stage itself was rarely elevated. Usually it was on ground level, and it was because they wanted the audience to also interact with the characters, that it was a participatory type of venue. It was a participatory type of entertainment, which, you know, was dangerous if you were playing the villain that night, but still that was part of the fun of going to a show. So, you know, if you're going to seek your entertainment, just like anything else in life, seek it with purpose. Seek it with meaning. You know, you're not going to get that from fucking television. You're not going to get that from video games. You're going to get that only if you're active in the process and try to get other people engaged in it with you. So, female Satan, are you on? Is that who you are? Is that who's on the line right now?
No.
No, 615 area code. Who is this? Are you allowed to give your name or whatever? What's on your brain?
I had a couple questions. The primary one that I had, aside from giving Mr. Zeno answer to his question about the cohesion, like what is it that it's going to take to be able to bring things together, the answer is action, and I'll come back to that in a minute. The question that I had for like pretty much everybody that's on the phone and that's also listening is, do you know the name of your congressman? Do you know the name of your senator? And do you know their phone numbers? Do you have their addresses to the, their offices?
Yeah, I know all that information, but there's a fundamental problem with this line of reasoning before you even head into that, and that is that these are not my congressmen. These are not my senators. These are not my state representatives. These aren't my mayors, it's not my police department out there. These people work for the corporations that fund them, not for me.
Believe me, I feel your frustration and your anger. I feel it every time I turn on the television. I'm glad you brought that up. I feel it every time I turn on the radio, whether it's to entertainment or otherwise, information, most of the time that's right-wing, but it is indeed information, whether it's extremely biased or not. And, you know, I get that anger, that same anger. I'm just, what it is that you speak of, it speaks to something more than just, you know, a simple walk down the street with a sign. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they did back in the 60s. Of course, you know, things got a little violent there for a little bit, but for the most part, it was walking down the street with a sign, yelling really loud. They made things happen. What you speak of goes to something even further back. You're talking about not reform, you're talking about revolution. So, I mean, are you serious about that? That's where you want to go with it? Is it time to finally pull the plug?
In my mind, if that earns me and my own kind the freedom to do and govern ourselves as if we are adults and not grown children that have to have some artificial big brother looking down on us, telling us what we can and can't do, then absolutely. Absolutely.
And if it's not revolution, if it's not converting the entire society to a new way of thinking and a new way of acting, then we're talking about secession for the portion of the population that no longer can tolerate the systems of controls that have been placed on us.
Just to be clear, we're talking about political revolution, not a philosophical or ideological revolution. We're talking about a complete and total overhaul.
Or if we were talking about revolution, if we're talking about we're talking about the shutdown and dismantling of the government as it is, and a restructuring on a local level. And again, if revolution is not an option, because we recognize that, you know, we're small, they're big. If revolution is not the course, then we're talking about a some sort of community secession, where, you know, the people that have to think this way turn their back on the system and break free of it.
Well, I think that's necessary to begin with. I know in another episode you were saying you need to attack from a fortified position. So I think that having that kind of a culture set up is important in the first place, that you can't have a revolution without that kind of thing going on first.
I think it's even more important to realize that the last time that in this country that any portion of its people tried to succeed from the overarching government entity, we had a civil war. So ultimately, yes, it is going to be in one way or another a revolution, whether it's one that's done gunshots and blood in the street or buildings burning down, or it's secretly taking over an area and occupying it. At some point, you're going to have to defend your borders.
Right. That would be the only reason in my mind to have a revolution would be that you have to take out your enemy, basically, that they are encroaching on you in such a way that you have no choice. But I'm not interested, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not interested in reforming society for society's sake. I'm not interested in saving people who aren't going to wake up and save themselves. If I can get more people to get out there and try to save themselves, great. But my place isn't to go out there and try to convince people to join a revolution that they have no investment in.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to ask. It's, I mean, like that's what we seem to be, you know, living in a time of is a, you know, disproportionate number of individuals who are apathetic, beyond apathetic, I mean, complete and totally ignorant about what's going on around them. I mean, apathetic is one thing. This is complete and total ignorance. They have no idea what's going on around them. And he called them zombies earlier. I like that analogy. That's relatively apropos. A good vast chunk of individuals might as well be. When it comes to like what's actually going on around them, I don't necessarily agree with everything that he said, but I do definitely agree with that.
Well, the good news is, ma'am, that I'm not asking you to agree with everything that I'm saying. I'm asking you to make up your own mind, become informed, and make decisions to help yourself. That's all I'm...
Oh, but I have.
That's my whole message.
I've already come up with my plan, and I'm executing it right now as I speak.
Okay. Could you tell us about it?
Sure. Basically, what I've decided is that I'm going to do my very best to beat them at their own game, and I'm going to encourage everybody that I know to do the exact same thing. And eventually, we can beat them at their own game. We've done it before, and we can do it again. I don't think it's necessarily going to take burning down buildings. Honestly, a lot of those buildings, like, say, for instance, the big banks and stuff, the reason they get a lot of the flack, and of course, I'm not trying to I guess I am kind of defending them in a way, but I'm simply saying... laws put into place, like the Community Reinvestment Act, which basically gave banks not only the ability to, but also highly incentivized them to offer loans to individuals that had absolutely no damn business getting a fucking home loan to begin with. So, were they being greedy? Yes. They were told, they were allowed to and told to by our government to do so. That one law sat on, what was it? five different presidents' desks until it finally got passed into law by William Jefferson Clinton. Take a look at it. Look it up. I mean, like, that's, you want to talk about the housing crisis, which is like that's a big one right now. Everybody's experiencing hell from that. Whether you work in construction I know that there's other individuals working with drywall sales and construction sales and whatnot. They're hurting right now. Believe that.
So when you say you're going to beat them at their own game, what game is it you're going to beat them at, and how is it you're going to go about it?
Well, basically what I've decided to do is that, you know, I've gotten off my ass, much like what's his name, Ian, said a second ago. Playing video games used to be something I did all the time. That doesn't happen anymore. The last time I saw television, I mean, like, actually got the chance to sit down and watch television was... I can't even remember when. So what is it that I do? I'm glad you asked. I right now, because of my, I've got several different irons in the fire, but I've got, I'm working three different jobs, two of them full-time, one of them part-time, all within my skill set, and all at a higher rate of pay than the other workers there, because of the fact that I've got, you know, more experience doing what it is that I do. I've spent over 15 years, in the pizza industry, and over 21 years total in the restaurant, hotels, hospitality, all that stuff. And so I'm working two full-time jobs doing that, and then I'm working with a side job, raking leaves, cutting grass. Well, not much grass to cut nowadays, of course, obviously, but raking leaves, doing on the odd jobs and stuff like that. And took my income from what was sitting at about $250-$300 a week and have now come close to tripling it. And that's within a very short period of time. I've also started saving money, which is something I wasn't doing before. I didn't do it at all. My parents didn't, you know, instill that in me. I didn't really see them do a lot of saving, and I didn't see a lot of people around me doing a lot of saving. And I just recently have started saving, and I found all of a sudden opportunities started popping up out of the woodwork. And I don't know if it necessarily coincides, because I've also started doing more giving. Causes that I actually, you know, believe in and want to see doing well. So I'm doing those things, and now I'm seeing opportunities pop up out of the woodwork, newer opportunities that are actually causing me to generate even more income. So basically what I'm saying is that there's a large number of people out there, and I'm not necessarily, you know, pointing any fingers at you guys because I don't know exactly. I know that Mr. Sorrell, he with his tattoos, and then you help with the fireworks business. I don't know if you own it or what the deal is, but you've got a lot of stuff going on, and I understand that. I don't know exactly how much money it pulls in or anything like that. I don't know how much time it gets spent not doing that, so I was just saying that's basically what my plan is to do as much as I possibly fucking can do, and fuckly, I don't give a shit about it. And so, all my time researching what it is that my current people that are in power are doing, and those that I don't want to be in power, I don't vote for them. And those that I do want to be in power, I do vote for them. And I'm praying that it doesn't come down to a revolution, which is, unfortunately, I keep seeing it. It just keeps getting batted around, and I just don't want to go to that place.
Well, and while I applaud what you're saying, okay, that you're going out there, you've got a bunch of different jobs, and you're making more money, but we're talking about fighting a system that is corrupt. We're talking about fighting a system that makes you, in order to have any semblance of success, that you have to work three jobs, that you have to be out there making all this effort and being engaged and all, and that's all fine and good. But what we're saying is that there should be that system is artificial. That those needs and those pressures, the way you measure success, is artificial. So I'm wondering if when we're talking about fighting a system, when we're talking about breaking away from a system and changing a system, I'm wondering if the best way to go about it is really being a more efficient cog in that machine, and striving for the goals, going after that carrot that they're dangling at the end of that stick. And unfortunately, I don't see that as being the way to go. I mean, at one time, I may have agreed with you totally that, you know, get out there and work hard and fly right and follow the rules and be aware and speak up when you see something that's going bad that you don't like in your political system. But I've come to the conclusion that capitalism is bullshit. It's corrupt. That our system is bullshit. It's corrupt. That the only way to really have any freedom, really have any options, is to unfortunately destroy it. Destroy it or break away from it, one or the other. And if I break away from it, they're coming after me. So, again, I'll be back to destroying it.
Well, I'd have to agree that capitalism in its current incarnation would be something that, well, it's not actually true capitalism, but, no, it is bullshit and does indeed need to be destroyed. However, I would implore you to find a different system of economics that fosters an environment of prosperity faster or more efficiently than capitalism does. The problem is that it keeps getting, you know, kicked in the face. And it's not being done with conscience.
And I would say to that, you know, you're right. The capitalism we have right now, I guess, isn't true capitalism. What I would say is we need a system of exchange where there's no middleman, where your medium of exchange is determined between you and the person you're making the exchange with. Right now, there's a third party that gets a piece of every exchange, every transaction. They determine the rate of exchange. They determine the means of exchange. And until that goes away, you're never going to have freedom. You're never going to have the opportunity to achieve the real success that you're trying to achieve.
What do you think about bitcoins?
What do I think about what?
Bitcoins.
Like state-issued funds, state-issued money?
No, bitcoins, the online currency.
I don't have any knowledge about it, so...
I know a little bit about bitcoins, and I know that it in itself is getting ready to actually deadline. It was a novel notion, but the problem with any system that's set up with the third-party exchange is that ultimately it's going to run itself down to zero.
See, but this is a peer-to-peer thing.
I understand what it is. Like I said, I'm very familiar with it, actually. It's something that my better half discovered about 6 months ago and did a lot of research on. And what we noticed was for a short period in time, you were gaining a lot of bitcoins. Like you buy into whatever, a dozen bitcoins, and then the next day they're worth 14. But then over a long period of time, they actually were constantly going down and constantly dividing. So the value of it's not any different than what we're trading with in paper right now.
Right. But
if it's a digital representation of physical currency, it still means that you're trading in the dollars and cents that your government, who is the central authority, has told you to trade in.
Well, not necessarily. They're actually generated through what they call Bitcoin mining, which is based off of the people that issued it. I mean, yeah, they do use different fiat currencies that you can trade for it. But the use of these things are online, and it's a lot more secure than paper money.
Right, but it's still not really truly secure, is the point. They are, I would agree with you that it is more secure than paper money, but you still have a third-party exchange that you're going through. Now, that's the whole problem here, in my opinion. And we need to cut out the middleman. And it's not even like there's a middleman anymore. What there is everybody wants their piece. If you go out and you work 8 hours in a day, the chances are by the time that you get home, 5% of that 8-hour day is actually yours.
Well, sure. I just think of Bitcoin as a short-term solution before everything falls down, is what I'm saying. I mean, there is really good uses for it that you can't really use regular money for. Well, I guess you could, but it's better in some ways. I don't want to give details, but I hope you catch my drift.
I absolutely catch your drift, and I'll just throw it out there that there are websites that you can purchase things that you, well, would have a lot more difficulty purchasing in real life with a lot less risk using Bitcoins. So that is the up advantage of it right now. And the down advantage of it is, once again, it's based off of this particular model of economy. And what we need to do is come back down to a level where it's primarily economy itself is in community and not on a global scale. You know, there's a town called Shipshawana in Indiana. Jason, you probably know about them. They have two things that make it a notable city, the first of which is they have world-famous ice cream, and the next of which is this huge, and it's not even really all that big, but for the area, there's this huge flea market where the Amish folks go, and they actually produce real homemade goods.
Ridiculous.
Now, this, what's that?
I said it's ridiculous, yeah. Yeah, my stepmother used to go all the time. Yeah, man, it's insane, yeah.
Yeah, I'm from Shipshi myself, so that's where I was born. But anyway, the thing of it is that every area could easily develop a kind of a trade like that. And then if you want other things, well, it's as simple as just exchange it. And the exchange may not necessarily be a direct one-on-one. Like, you know, if I want Shipshawana ice cream and I make chainmail here, and that's what we do, we make chainmail. Well, you know, the Amish don't want chainmail, but what they might want is the wood from the lumberjacks in between us, who they do want chainmail. So at least there's a little more of an enterprise there that's a little more crude than what we're dealing with, but it's also easier to keep it honest. You know what I'm saying?
Because people are actually getting some kind of use out of it. The shit that they get, they'll be able to use later. It's not going to not be useful later. Like, you know, you can get all this paper money, you know, amassed, and someday it might not be worth shit. But if you trade a good for a good, and you'll still be able to use it many years later.
Right, and that's what's important, is physical, tangible use. Go for it, man.
Well, along those lines, and what you're talking about, the Amish bringing their crafts to Shipshawana to sell at the flea market and everything else, these are things that they made themselves. So, like a lot of the stuff that was out there, they went out into the woods. They cut down the trees themselves, you know, the trees that they grew themselves. They brought the trees in. They converted the wood into usable materials to make chairs with or whatever. So their medium of exchange, they generated themselves. And I've talked about this on the show before. I would advocate maybe not a standardized system, but I would advocate trade in marijuana. You know, Lehi, if you wanted to come to me for a tattoo and you said, you know what, I got – a dime bag or whatever, right? Well, I know that you grew yourself. That would be the thing, okay? It's a product. It's a medium of exchange that you could grow yourself.
You're not. You don't have to go slave for somebody else. You don't have to get to buy into a system. You didn't have to pay taxes on it. You grew the shit yourself, and you brought it to me. And then I know that this has value to other people. I can take this, and if I don't take it someplace else to trade for other things I might need that other people can get for themselves, well, then I can use it myself. Okay? So, you know, with a dollar, that's a middleman's, you know, symbol for my time. They're saying this is what your hour, your time is worth, this piece of paper. And this piece of paper, if the system collapses, it's just like TC said, it becomes fucking worthless. You can't eat it. You can't do shit. You wipe your ass with it. That's about all you can do with it. And it's not even good for that. You know,
you could burn it, but it would go out pretty fast.
Right, right. It's just, yeah, you're not going to get a dollar's worth of energy out of it, burning it. Exactly. So I'd rather have a medium of exchange where you didn't have to get that, you know, whatever it is you're exchanging, you got that yourself through your own effort without having to, you know, slave for somebody else. And if you wanted to work for somebody else, well, then you either work for whatever it is they produce or whatever it is they do that you might need, or they have some sort of thing that they can go, here, you take this, this bag of flour, this, you know, thing of sugar, this, you know, dime bag or whatever, you can use this to exchange with other people in this community for things that you want.
If you're talking about the precursor to the capitalism, the bartering, the exchange.
You know, this whole conversation is reminding me of a YouTube video. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to run over you.
No, that's cool. I'm running over everybody, so it's all good. You don't know who I am. Sorry.
What I was saying was that this conversation right here, this portion of it, has reminded me of a short 30-minute YouTube video I saw created by, I guess, the Provocateur Network. The name of the video is The American Dream. I'd recommend everybody check it out if you want a good laugh and at the same time really get a what I think is a solid feeling of what's actually going on. So definitely just something to plug in there. I guess I could drop a link in the chat room for anybody who's interested in watching it later.
I'll go there in a little bit.
Hold on.
My time. I like those videos. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's an official strategy session on how to tear it down or what to do after it's been torn down, because I understand blowing stuff up. But the problem is that nature abhors a vacuum. So, like, what happens afterwards? Because that's the big thing. There's plenty of other individuals out there that are much more mighty than little old us would be. That would more than love to be able to, you know, take the reins once the carriage, the driver's been knocked off the carriage, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean,
but you keep
the
knocking
them
fuckers down.
The whole thing for me that's ludicrous here is the idea that we can somehow make things different by being better slaves or better cogs in the wheel. That by going out and pursuing the end goal of the game that they've got you playing, it's not a game you chose to play. It's one you were born into. It's like you start in the middle of a game of Monopoly and you're expected to actually be able to somehow come out of it when everybody's already got all the pieces on the board. And the only real option you have is to move along and pay rent every stop that you make. Or go directly to jail. Every once in a while, you land on that little square that lets you collect $200. But, I mean, ultimately, you're perpetuating debt, and you're just burning the hours of your life away.
That's a good analogy. And I guess, and to answer the guy's question, I think what we kind of advocated is going back to small, self-sufficient communities. That's what's missing here as a nation. That's what's missing here as a society, is that we're no longer self-sufficient. So you go back to small, self-sufficient communities that are centered around some core ideology that's determined by that community. So, you know, they're setting their own rules or setting up their own laws. It makes no sense in my mind to have a central authority that is so far away you know, geographically, ideologically, politically, so distant from where I am, telling me how to run my life, telling me what my options are, telling me, you know, what I can do and where I can go and how I can do things. They don't know what I'm dealing with. Or, you know, what they do, what they try to, what the way they try to determine what I'm dealing with is by limiting my options to a point where any choice I make is already planned for by those folks. That's not freedom. That's not being an individual. It doesn't seem very humane. So that's why I'm opposed to it. That's why I'm saying fuck shit up.
Our caller fell off, but they called back in, so I'm going to bring them back onto the line, okay?
Right on.
All right. Caller, you're back on news.
Thanks.
All right, so, I mean, there's a bunch of things in my mind that kind of happen, and I just don't even know how to put into the words what really needs to go on beyond the fact that people need to wake up and realize that, you know, they don't owe anything to anybody unless they choose, you know, to be indebted in one way or the other. Like, you may have a... I don't know, an irrational sense of gratitude to your mother for giving birth to you in this world. And as much as I love my mom, I don't have that confusion. I didn't make the request, and therefore I don't owe her anything for it. You know, it's the same thing on every level.
No, and I agree with that. And that would be, I mean, we're talking about a revolution. Imagine the bloodless revolution that would occur if tomorrow, it's Monday, tomorrow's Monday, if everybody tomorrow said, you know what, I'm not going to work tomorrow. I'm not going to the gas station to pump gas. I'm not going to the pizza place to deliver pizzas. I'm not going. I'm done. Every person, every, you know, everyone in this country just said, no, not going anymore. Not dealing with it.
Does that include the medical personnel?
Yeah, fuck it.
If you're having a heart attack, they just, well, they didn't show up for work that day, so.
Life's full of risk. Life is full of risk. Everybody doesn't go to work tomorrow. What does the system do about that? What happened?
I agree with you with the unmitigated chaos, indeed. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, you're right. But that's what I'm saying. This is, I mean, like, if you're having a heart attack, you're done, you know. If your house is on fire, oh, well, unless it's raining outside.
What would ultimately do? If you had a heart attack and nobody was at work that day, what that would ultimately do is make you be responsible for the choices that you had made bringing you up to the point where you're having this heart attack. Because you were born...
Give you a fine example.
I'm using a heart attack as an example. I mean, like, somebody hits you because with their car or whatever. What I'm saying is that if you need medical attention, you're not going to get it. If nobody shows up for work, nobody at all, anywhere, like Christmas, basically, nothing's going to get done. And, yeah, it's going to be it's going to be devastating. It would be.
And if nothing gets done, it's not necessarily a bad thing. If everybody decides tomorrow they're not going to work and they got hungry, they'd go out and find food. They would go out and reach out to their community. They'd reach out to their neighbors, and they talk about what kind of exchange they can get going on. They're just not participating in the corporations anymore. They're not participating in the government anymore. Like when you talk about this old guy that, you know, could have a heart attack, you know, somebody that, you know, it used to be if you were a doctor, because you loved the idea of medicine, that you loved the idea of helping people who were sick. You know, I mean, I'm not talking about the frontier times of our nation and everything else. If you were a doctor out in some small community, well, you performed your services in exchange for apples and, you know, meat and stuff like that. But you did it because you loved it. You didn't do it because you were trying to get rich. You didn't do it because you were expecting to get paid.
You perform those services for a hell of a lot of apples. You perform those services for pieces of land. you perform those services for political favors. I mean, yeah, you did get stuff like you're talking about all your basics and whatnot, but that's the thing. When you're in that high a demand, you're always going to be more prosperous than any of the other individuals around. Sure, yes, because
as
of the time period and the frontier, you know, absolutely, yeah. A lot of bartering happened. That's how things got done back then.
You know what I feel bad for?
And all these other
talking about people being equal.
Make that less of an issue.
You know what I feel bad for is the doctor that's like that during those times who has the guy who raises cattle that never gets sick in his community. Because how does he get some beef?
You know, I guess you'd have to look back at the teachers that were brought into these communities. Where the community would come together and they built the schoolhouse for the teacher. They built a place for the teacher to live. They wanted a teacher in the community. So the community stepped up and took care of the teacher. Same with the doctor. They recognize that this doctor is not necessarily going to have his own land to farm, but they're going to put him in a building. They're going to have him taken care of as far as his needs are concerned because he's the community's doctor, and they want him to be there just in case that rancher does get sick or just in case he knocks up his wife and his mistress and who the hell else knows because he wants those children somebody to birth those children for him. So there's a need for a doctor. And if there's a need for a doctor, the community can step up and take care of that doctor. And if the doctor agrees to the fashion he's being taken care of, well, he stays in that community. If he's not happy with the way he's being taken care of, well, he takes his ass down the road and the next doctor shows up.
Right. He's also got to keep in mind that those people take care of him. You know, he doesn't have I mean, and that's the whole thing. It's this trick that we allow ourselves to play on one another to think that what we do and who we are is more important than the next. It's bullshit.
And it used to be
my problem with what go ahead,
dude.
My problem with
what I was
talking about a minute ago, I understand that, you know, if the community comes together, they can indeed help this individual, you know, get what he or she needs and even wants. But they have to be motivated. Obviously, they have to offer something in return, like, I don't know, medical knowledge and training and skill.
Taking care of people. I'm going to reference Fight Club here really quick, just a short line, but, you know, you are not a unique snowflake.
Right. The reason it shakes you to your core, the idea that if everybody stopped doing what they've been trained to do, what they've been told to do, that people would die, that a lot of shit would go down and it would be unpleasant, is because we've all been taught, we've all been convinced that we are important in some way, that it really matters that if you live or die. You know, if somebody has a heart attack, if a doctor's there, there's a chance he might die anyways. So if we're talking about, you know, somebody dies or what have you, well, you know what? The hard truth of this matter is, you know, well, then that's one less person that has to be fed by the community. That's one less person that we have to deal with. If he is in a position medically where he's not able to, you know, his life is not going to be sustained unless he's hooked up to a machine, you know what? Probably he should go ahead and die anyway. And that's cold and harsh, but that's taking real stock in the value of a human life when there are 7 billion of us and not enough jobs to go around.
Well, shit, people are dying right now with the current system, like millions of people.
Right. I've heard figures that just blew me away today or earlier that in 35 years we will have doubled the population here on this planet. So if you think 7 billion is a pain in the ass, imagine having to deal with 14.
Well, if we keep going down this path, we're not going to have to worry too damn much about that at all.
I honestly hope that's the case.
Well, I've been thinking about it for a second. We're going down the path of revolution. I'd love to be able to stop it. I don't think it's going to stop. It's pretty much that's where we're going. We're steamrolling right down that path. Great. Awesome. When it finally happens and everything comes tumbling down, what happens next? Well, let's see. everybody in the world pretty much fucking hates us right now. China owns, I don't know, 85% of us, something like that. It's ridiculous. And they've got cities here in this country right now, as we speak, populated with nothing but 100% Chinese individuals, Chinese nationals, people from China, from that country. Yeah, in here, in this country, in Maryland, in Baltimore, in Idaho. They're here already, and they're building more cities.
Okay.
What happens when the system comes down? What about all these little communities, these little Muslim-run communities filled with hundreds and hundreds of individuals conforming and complying with Sharia law in our country? I mean,
right. So when the system breaks down in the West, when the fire rolls through, it's going to burn out those communities just as much as it burns out any other communities. So the people left here to pick up the pieces, and if you think Western civilization collapses without taking the rest of the world with us, I'd have to beg to differ on that opinion. So when the fire burns through, when everything falls apart and the system breaks, okay, and I don't think the system breaking, I don't think the kind of revolution is going to result in the deaths of, you know, hundreds of millions of people. I think most people are going to be just fine because we existed as a species without the system before. So what you're talking about is what's going to happen. You know what? I can't – my car is only going to take me so far because there's only so much gas in it, and I can't get gas anymore. So what do I got to do? Well, if I'm going to feed myself, take care of myself, I've got to reach out to my neighbors who are around me. I got to start talking to people and finding out, you know, how can we work things out between us so that we don't kill each other. Or if we're going to kill each other, well, then let's fucking duke it out. Let's find out let's find out who has to bump top. And then whoever's left, whoever survives that shit, they're going to work it out. And ideally what we're saying is they work it out amongst themselves. They go, you know what, we don't need a big centralized government ever fucking again because that shit doesn't work. We need to keep shit in-house. We need to work it out amongst ourselves. And yes, it means the lifespan might be shorter than 80 or 90 years again. Yes, it might mean that you don't have the same comforts and shit that you have now, but you're free. You can do what you want with the time you have. You have more options in that situation than you do now.
I mean, if you really look at it as common people, we have a history of surviving societal collapses. Everything from ancient Sumeria to ancient Rome to the USSR just collapsing, not but within the past 20 years. I mean, we have fundamentally experienced this thing over and over and over again. We're just too stupid to say, no, we're not going to do this again. And that's what we're trying to put out there is, no, we're not going to do this again. Yes, it's the fucking shit's going to hit the fan. You might as well just fucking accept that shit and not offer up some apologetic, well, boo-hoo, you know, lots of people are going to die. That's inevitable. But ultimately, hopefully, we learn our fucking lesson this time.
Even if we don't, we can do it again.
When the Roman Empire fell, there were communities that didn't know that the Roman Empire was gone until missionaries showed up and said, hey, by the way, the Roman Empire is not in charge anymore. It's the Catholic Church. You know, and life went on regardless of the central authority being in place or not.
When the Roman Empire fell, nuclear missiles were not in existence.
But you keep going to that. You keep going to death and destruction with the revolution. Do you have a nuclear missile you can fire off, man? If you don't have a nuclear missile and I don't have a nuclear missile, it's not fucking likely that nuclear missiles are going to get used. We're talking about the West. If we talk about people just not going to work, all of a sudden nukes are going to be fired off. How do you make that leap? Are you so inerred in the system? Are you so deeply ingrained in the system that the idea of it going away? I mean, I understand what you're saying. The things you've been trained to do, the values that you have instilled in you, taking that away, saying, you know what, those things aren't worth anything anymore because you can't go to somebody else and get your money and get the things you need. You have to do some sort of direct exchange. You have to find some way of supporting yourself through your own talents, through your own skills, not by performing a service for somebody else, but directly. It's a scary thought.
that if, oh, no, the police aren't going to be here to protect my ass anymore. Guess I got to do that shit myself. Oh, no, the EMT's not going to be here anymore to take care of my boo-boos. Well, I guess I got to do that shit myself.
I mean,
what happened
even if
to human sense of individualism?
Even if it went in the direction of hellfire and brimstone and entire city blocks were burning and there was mad looting and murder and rape and all those things, do you think that our U.S. government is going to turn a nuclear warhead in and blow its own people up?
No. God, I hope not. Okay. No, then the tip of the is going to be around. I mean, like, they're not going to, that's what I'm saying. They're not going to be in control of their own shit.
But it's not just the U.S.
And you know
that'll
right now, don't you understand that bringing upon a civil war right now, at this time, at this place, doing that here, now, is going to be, it's going to cause, if not be a major contributing factor to a world fucking war.
Why would it contribute to a world war? The whole world is going to be in civil unrest.
We're talking about fucking the whole world up, dude.
How do you make that leap? How do you get from the United States going, you know what, fuck the system? Every person in the United States going, you know what, fuck the system, not going to work, to China nuking us. How do you get there?
We're already at the brink of a world war, Ego. You can't see that by turning on any normal news. You're right. But you can if you simply just take a look at what's going on. I mean, every single faction that's out there, whether it's Asian, Middle Eastern, Russian, European, whatever, fuck, they fucking hate us. They hate each other.
They're getting armed.
Iran. They hate Jerusalem. I mean, I don't really give a shit about Jerusalem, but they hate everybody, and they hate anything that has to do with us. I mean, the people of Iran, the people of Saudi Arabia, made sure that they knew, that we knew, that they don't like us by putting fucking planes into our buildings.
So
right, but if we...
China's got their finger on the button right now. Hey, man, what you're saying is China's got their finger on the button right now, ready to nuke their best customers at the slightest provocation.
What happens when we stop being their best customers?
China nukes the United States. they sell to somebody else. They're in business. China nukes the United States. They wipe out their best customers.
Well, if we go down under a civil war,
we're not going to be
their best customer anymore. If the U.S. government doesn't exist, it's not going to be able to buy oil. Therefore, it's not going to be their best customer anymore.
Well, wait a second. If the U.S. government doesn't exist, the Chinese aren't going to want to sell the people that do exist here? The government's going to take its place?
If the Chinese government thinks that the U.S. government's got it, of course it's going to move in. It already wants to.
Right, but moving to do what? Hey, you guys are good consumers. You guys are good consumers. We want you to continue to be good consumers. So here, let's sell you your shit. I know you don't want to work, but they're not going to nuke us. That's my point. They're going to come here. They're going to come here with bags loads of shit to sell us.
It just blows me away because, I mean, you're talking since the times of B.C., that all of these different groups of people have hated each other. People will forever hate each other. And there's never been any kind of global catastrophe that wiped out, an entire civilization, at least not from that particular front. Those kind of catastrophes usually tend to happen on like a ecosphere type way. You know, you get a fucking ice age that comes through or some virus. I mean, we as human beings have died more from causes out in nature than we have in anything that we've inflicted upon ourselves.
The closest we've come to a nuclear war is two parties having nuclear weapons and being afraid that if they didn't use their weapons first, the other people would. Until finally somebody said, you know what, let's just both put this shit down. I could see the Chinese coming in here and going, hey, you guys don't have any government. How would you like to be Chinese now? You know? But I think when the shit collapses here, it's going to collapse just as fast in China. It's happening now. Despite their economic growth, despite the growth of their industry, they're experiencing it now.
Right. If we go down, they go down with us. They're not going to be fine if we stop being their customer. If we stop being their customer, they're just as fucked as everybody else.
And as far as I can recall, when we're talking about Tiananmen Square or whatever, there are people in China just as discontent and just as pissed off as they are anywhere else in the world. So when the people of the United States, when the people of Greece, when the people of England and Italy and France and Russia and wherever the fuck else go, you know what? We're done fucking with you assholes in the Kremlin. We're done fucking with you assholes in London. We're done fucking with you assholes in D.C. The Chinese might go, you know what? We're done fucking with you assholes in Beijing.
I know from personal experience, having been over in China, the system there is even more corrupt than here. And I'm certain that if enough people throughout the world, I mean the U.S., Britain, all of the major leaders right now on the global front all have this internal little revolutions that say, you know, fuck big government. The Chinese people there won't be too far behind. It's not like they're ignorant and fucking blind to when they're being repressed. It's just that they see the same thing that all of the rest of us see, and that is, what do you do? There's that big fucking question mark of what do you do. It's scary to think that you might have to actually depend 100% upon yourself. That is a very, very mortifying thing. But once you get over that, you realize that, I mean, we've survived, shit, at least 70 million years, according to some of the stuff that I've seen in different archaeological reports or whatever. I mean, mankind will survive if the one strength that we as Homo sapiens have over anything that's ever existed on this planet before is the ability to actually communicate and create these communal ideas. I mean, that is literally the distinguishing feature between ourselves and the Neanderthals, and what ultimately led to them being wiped out of existence and us continuing to flourish.
Hey, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, the 7 million years shit. I'm a fundamentalist. The Earth's only been around for 6 million years. Mankind was around with the dinosaurs, Adam and Eve, and all that shit. So you take that Darwinism shit, and you know what to do with it.
Right on, man. Right on. Either way, 6 million, 6,000, we've been around for a while.
Yeah.
Blasphemy, heretic.
However long it's been a long damn while, and I'd like to see it go on a lot longer.
Well, if that's the case, then the first thing that you can do for yourself is learn to do for yourself. I mean, because that's the only thing that you can really do to continue to perpetuate the human race.
And there are a lot of bloodless, nonviolent ways to perpetuate change. There are a lot of bloodless, nonviolent ways to erode and take apart this system and to start doing for ourselves as societies. But it's all meaningless if nobody's willing to commit to violence if necessary. If you're not willing to take that step, if somebody breaks in your home and is going to kick your ass and, you know, rape your wife or whatever, and you're not willing to shed some blood, well then there's not a fucking thing you can do about it. You know, you can negotiate all day. You can, you know, you can try to convince them that it's a bad idea. You can put locks on your doors. But if they're coming, they're coming. And if you're not willing to kick some ass, well, then it just happens to you.
I don't know about where you live, but I know where I live. There's an awful lot of gun shops around here. And there's one in particular. I always see they actually have a budget enough to be able to advertise on the radio. And that damn place is... I have a relatively decent sized parking lot, and it's full. Every single hour that it's open, it's jam fucking packed. Now they got a little packed park, another bigger parking lot down below where the fire, the shooting range is. But that place stays good and freaking busy every hour that it's open.
People in your,
I mean,
So the people in your community.
What time of day it is, what time of week it is, what time of year it is, that place is fucking full all the damn time.
Yeah?
All the time. And I talk to a lot of people that are really, really pissed off. So I don't think it's a lack of, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, willingness to commit acts of violence if necessary. I think the fact is that most people don't necessarily see a better system to go to. And that's basically what I'm just coming. That's all I'm saying is that when I see a better system to go to, I'm going to put everything that I can into it. I just haven't found that yet.
Okay. Look into participatory, look into participatory economics and participatory politics. You can look those up on Wikipedia. Start there.
I think an even better starting point than that, the one and only system that you should be putting everything into is the system of you. And I mean that literally. You start at the base level of being responsible for absolutely everything that you do, being responsible for absolutely everything that you go through. You know, the one thing about everybody having guns.
That's one of the foundations that I live upon. That's absolutely. I'm talking about, you know, you're talking about busting down a system that's held us in place for the last 200 years and propelled us as far as forward as it has in the last 200 plus years. I think everybody's just like, well, we feel pretty lucky to be where we're at right now. I mean, at the one hand, I'm incredibly frustrated and not very, and I'm incredibly unhappy with the way that the country's gone. I still feel way more lucky than I would if I were living pretty much anywhere else in the whole fucking world. So I don't think that's it. I think it's just simply a matter of, okay, so the system is busted. I get it. In fact, I think a large portion of people, you know, made sure to let people know that with the last major election that went through. I mean, like, they talked about it all over the place. I don't think that there's a shortage of people that are pissed off, and have a complete and total, you know, willingness to be able to do something to better themselves and or their community and or their country specifically. I don't think that we've been approached with a better system than what we've currently got.
What I'm curious about is why there's a need for any kind of system at all. I mean, if you're not good at playing board games and you get your ass kicked in all of the board games that you play every time you play a board game, then eventually you just kind of come to this thing, well, wait a minute. I'm not good at board games. Maybe I shouldn't play board games. And I think that's something the human race has to realize. We're not good at this whole systemizing thing, at least not on this level. So why do we continue to...
And there is, you can find order. In fact, actually, that's the whole point of chaos. The whole point of chaos is to create order. You can't have one without the other, without the other, without the other. One doesn't exist without the other, ever. That's the reason why a well-greased plan never falls through exactly according to plan. Something always, you know, winds up going awry. No matter how many times you wind up going through your simulation, no matter how many times you wind up, you know, studying every single move, every single step, whatever, chaos and or life always seems to find a way to throw some sort of wrench into the cogs of your overall plans. I mean, chaos exists, yes, but so does order. And that's my only point, I guess, is that, I mean, why is it that there has to be order? Because it just it is. It's existed since.
Well, order would, and first, order would happen. You reach a point, rocks together and
start fucking fire.
You reach a point in this fluctuation, though. You're right. Chaos leads to order. But order eventually becomes so restrictive that it takes a chaotic reaction to free things up again. It's back
chaos
and forth.
It's the other direction. And that's basically what you speak of. And I understand that. I mean, all I'm coming to at the end of the day is,
Real quick, you said you want to know what replaces it. When it all breaks down,
we just need to have, you know,
when,
something in place to be able to, you know, bring in money, or the farm's going to be, you know, going back to the bank.
Hey, fair enough.
You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough. That's what, that's been your biggest point, that when it all breaks down, what replaces it? Let me ask you. You said you do three different things. You do three different things. Not something to do with pizzas, something to do with landscaping. Let's say the third thing is something to do with computer programming. Let's say you're a Renaissance man. You do it all, okay? And I'm just giving this as an example.
Right.
If tomorrow nobody's buying pizzas, nobody wants their lawn taken care of, and computers have gone the way of the dodo. If that happens tomorrow, are you prepared to have a system in place for yourself? When you can't rely on those three things, are you prepared to rely on yourself to make sure that there's food on the table?
Well, that's what that's what an emergency fund is for.
No. It's okay. When the emergency funds run out, what I'm saying is, when you can't go to those systems anymore, when you can't perform a service for somebody else anymore, when that's not an option for you anymore, because that's what you're saying. Well, when the system goes away, what do I do? Well, you fend for yourself. And that's the fear of
I can take care of me and mine when the system winds up going down. And pretty much everybody's already consigned themselves to the point that it's got to come down. And that's, I mean, fine. Like I said, I understand exactly how to make stuff break.
Okay, well, let me cut you off real quick then before you go on. Let me cut you off again. So you are capable of taking care of you and yours. Now then,
yeah.
If you're capable of taking care of you and yours, you're going to outlast whatever shit comes down because you are able to take care of you and yours. When all the shit goes down, when the dust settles, you are then going to reach out to other people who also have been able to take care of them and theirs. And then you will reach out with them and rebuild. It'll be up to you to come up with the very thing you're talking about having, that replacement, that whatever form of government, whatever form of exchange, whatever form of society. It will be up to you and the people around you to develop that. Just like it's been for thousands of years, whenever a plague wiped us out, or a war wiped us out, or a famine wiped us out, whoever survived got together and worked it out. We're talking about why wait. We're talking about why, you know, back to my thing about somebody breaking into your house. You said you're prepared to defend yourself. You're prepared to shed blood. So if a criminal breaks into your house, you're ready to pull out that gun and take care of business. Well,
they would already be done.
Right. You've got a criminal riding your ass right now. It's the U.S. government. You got a criminal riding your ass right now. It's the corporations you work for.
Believe me, I already understand all this.
Not more so.
Believe me,
right.
But see, I fight back in my own special little way, though. Like, say, for instance, Walmart. I don't do Walmart. Period. I don't shop there. I've delivered a few pizzas there, but that's about it. You see what I'm saying? I don't do business with individuals, entities, or otherwise that don't align with my personal set of ideals, and I do have those.
I mean, honestly, I have to commend you for taking effort, regardless of my opinion, mine or anybody else's opinion on your efforts. At least you're doing something, which is more than I can say for the 99%. So
that is a big
I am indeed the 1%.
But what we're trying to do today, what we're trying to do in general, is make you really think about the efforts that you're taking. Because I don't know if you've ever played the game chess, but there's only so many moves you can go through in the game before you're just completely fucked and it's over. It's the same thing. You're only going to get to take so many swipes at the system. And if you're not focused on the right places to strike, then what you ultimately do is futile, and it's just helping the machine along.
Well, I do agree with a good chunk of what it is that you speak of. Vast majority of it, I actually agree with you. Like I said, it's going to be interesting. That's all I can say. It's going to be bloody.
Right.
That's par for the course for human beings. I mean, people don't take into account the fact just how bloody and vicious humans can actually truly be. We don't really like to think of ourselves as very evil now, do we? But, we reach out towards our family and our friends and even individuals that we, feel sorry for. But really, at the end of the day, it all boils down to exchanges and transactions, emotional or otherwise, and financial sometimes. But it's all very calculated. It's all very cold. And it's all very, at the end of the day, not quote-unquote what could be considered good. So
I would absolutely agree with that. And I would agree with that because what else can you say about an animal that imagines a god and a devil? And that devil is an evil, horrible thing. But what's worse is their god, that's also an evil, horrible thing. So, I mean, ultimately, that comes down to the fact that is what we are. And we are evil, horrible things, and we might as well just get over it and, do it up, do it right.
I'm good with the whole being evil and horrible. I'm fine.
Well,
and real quick, I shared in your mentality not more than 6 months ago. Okay, so I'm a fresh convert to this idea that the system sucks and should be taken down. TC's, given an analogy in past shows where he's talked about if you realize that you're being fucked in the ass, do you turn around and fight or do you negotiate with the guy fucking you in the ass? Do you try to find a more efficient way to deal with how you're being fucked in the ass? Do you hand some lube back to the guy to help out with the whole fucking you in the ass? Do you pull off a little bit so you're only getting the head in the ass? No, if you turn around and you get fired, because either way, even if you're being more efficient in the way you're handling your money, even if you're being more efficient in the way you're living your life and doing things that make you a little bit more aware, you know you're being fucked in the ass compared to most people who don't even realize it, right? That's all fine and good, but you're still being fucked in the ass. So until you choose not to be fucked in the ass anymore, it's still being sodomized.
Fair enough.
Right on.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
I think we're at a point where
you've been beaten down by life. But, I mean, I do understand the mind space from which you're coming from.
Well, I have to fight. I've been beaten
myself,
down by life.
So.
Yeah, this isn't me giving up. Me giving up would be putting on the suit and tie and going to the office again, going back to that cubicle.
What's wrong with the suit and tie?
There's nothing wrong with the suit and tie if you're wearing it because you want to, because you feel good about being in the suit and tie. I didn't feel good about being in the suit and tie, so I stopped wearing it.
I got you. So you don't equate that with an increase in self-respect or self-confidence. It's rather the opposite for you. Makes sense. You must have had an office job or something like that early on, something you hated but were good at, relatively well paid for. I guess I got cut off again.
No, you're still there, dude. The TT, you're trying to wrap it up, right?
No, I'm just saying I think we've reached a point in the show where the intensity of it has been pretty steady for at least an hour that I can tell. So I thought maybe, we got five minutes left. We might touch on something else and give the main topic a little rest because next Sunday night we'll be back at the shit again.
Hell yeah. I might actually get an opportunity to listen.
Right on.
Well, fellas, I really appreciate you indulging me. I appreciate that. And I do actually look forward to seeing more success not only personally for myself, but also for all of the individuals involved.
Right on. Well, you keep plugging away. You keep plugging away, dude. And, yeah, keep listening. Tell your friends. We appreciate you calling in.
I always do. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, that's definitely a good thing. Sounds like my little pep talk in the beginning of the show actually produced something, so I'm happy about that. I don't know, man. I'm honestly at a point where the only thing I think is you just keep screaming louder and louder and louder.
Yeah, it's. Dude, the things he was saying, it's if he called in on the show, if we were talking about this 6 months ago and he called in, I would have agreed with him point for point that it would just be you got to work harder, you got to try harder, you can't be lazy, you know, buy in, you can change it from within. Totally would have agreed with everything he had to say, and
yeah.
I just can't do it,
Yeah, I hear you. I don't think I ever actually, well, no, that's not true. For a little while, around 2004, when I was doing really good with Phantom Firelifts, I thought maybe I'd found my niche. I mean, ultimately, though, I think I was diagnosed with oppositional defiance disorder as a teenager, so that gives you an idea. I've always had this mean streak in me.
Right on. So,
but,
yeah, we got about 3 minutes left, man.
Yeah, I know, dude. I was just going to say, we can probably, you know, plug some shit. SatanicInternationalNetwork.com, CreativeOddityStudios.com.
Let me roll this out real quick. Go ahead, dude. I got something real quick when you're done.
Oh, no, good. Go for it, man. I can finish that at the end.
Okay. The Cult of Cthulhu by Jason Sorrell will be published December 23rd, 2011. So this book will be completed and will be available on CreativeOddityStudios.com and Lulu, the Lulu website. So be looking for it. It should be a hoot.
Oh, you're going to have to send me a PDF, man, so I can check that out.
Oh, that's awesome that you're just about done with that.
Right on. I've been putting stuff together, and I've been writing a little bit every once in a while, and some of the stuff makes the blog. A lot of it hasn't made the blog, and putting it all together, so I'm kind of excited that the way it's taken shape. It's been interesting trying to write in three different voices at once. You know, patient at an insane asylum, an interviewer who writes books, and then, of course, the publisher with the information on the occult. So, it's going to be looking forward to seeing how people react to it.
Awesome. All right, anyway, eminentmind.info, click all of the links in the recommended links section and otherwise, and... I think that's it, guys.
All right, man. Cool. Talk to you again next Sunday, man.